NRI Wellness brings you the latest health and nutrition information, creates customized nutrition programs, and walks you through the process to ensure your success.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, wherever you are in the world. Thank you for joining me for another dynamic episode of the 10 Dimensions of Wellness. Today, I am delighted to have trauma coach Rachel Grant on our show today. Rachel, thank you so much for joining us.
So nice to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. So let me ask you this. Let's get started by you telling us your personal wellness journey, how you got to this point.
Wow. Thank you so much for the opportunity. It's nice to be here with you all. For everybody tuning in and listening, my name is Rachel Grant, and I'm a sexual abuse recovery coach. And I work with survivors of childhood sexual abuse who are just really sick and tired of, you know, feeling broken and unfixable and are really ready to let go of the past and move on with their lives. And I arrived at this work in a very wiggly way, as we sometimes do. But I've been at this work for about 13 years now, and it really all tracks back to when I was 5 years old and my grandfather came to live with our family. And I was really happy to have him in the home. My older brother and sister were kind of on their way. And so it was a wonderful thing to have this additional human being who I could play with and spend time with. But around the age of 10, my grandfather began sexually abusing me. And of course, when this trauma started, I had no sense of what was happening. I didn't understand what was going on. I was very overwhelmed and conflicted about it. And of course, you know, didn't know how to talk about what was happening. And I think, like so many of us do who go through trauma, there's kind of that immediate moment where life switches and everything you thought you knew is up for grabs. And so all of a sudden feeling unsafe in a home that I had always felt safe in. And this person who I thought I could trust and count on and rely on was now still somebody who we like hung out and had good times, but also was harming me pretty seriously. And the abuse went on for some time and continued to escalate until one day my mom just noticed. She happened to catch him in a moment of abusing me. And she and my dad were really wonderful. They immediately got him out of our home and moved him in with an aunt of mine. And I'm ever grateful for that, because I certainly know from my own experience and the work that I've done with clients, that's not always the case. Oftentimes survivors are not believed or the perpetrator is prioritized. So while he was gone and out of the home, it certainly didn't really stop my internal angst. And while my parents wanted me to go to counseling, I was not having that. I did not want to go. I did not want to talk about it. I just wanted to pretend that everything was okay. And that's really what I did for the next, you know, 10 years until my, you know, late teens, early 20s, when I began therapy. It was a time in my life where I had started dating someone and, oh my gosh, I just was so clear that I did not know what I was doing. Like, I did not have the resourcing. I did not have the skills for relationship. And so through conversation with him and sharing a bit of my story, he really encouraged me to get into therapy. And so I did. And that was really a time in my life where I was beginning to try to unravel and understand the trauma and other traumas that had happened along the way in my teens, and put it into context. This is the time where I often describe survivors as the surviving stage, and as a time when we're becoming very book smart about trauma, right? We're reading everything, we're figuring it all out. But about in my mid-20s, I was going through a divorce, and I really saw that as an opportunity to chart a new course for myself. I remember I was, you know, sitting in my new apartment all I had was a lamp and a sleeping bag at that point. You know, life had really been very stripped back, and I was scared. I was really scared because while I'd been doing healing work, the relationship that I had been in for 10 years was also very abusive. And so I now had that kind of compounding my experience. And man, I just didn't really know how to get myself onto a new path. I knew something had to change. I remember feeling very distinctly in that moment, like, man, I have got to get it together, like right now, or I am going to spend the rest of my life just surviving. And so that was really the moment where I turned a corner, and I just became honestly obsessed with trying to answer this question of how do I actually heal from sexual trauma? And so I began reading everything that I could. I started to go to some groups, and eventually I did my master's in counseling psychology, and I began to study neuroscience. And that really landed me for about a year, 2 years, and honestly using myself as a guinea pig. I really began thinking about healing as addressing it like an injury. And therefore, how do we repair that injury? And trying out this intervention. Okay, this is an area in my life where I struggle. So what would I have to know? What would I have to be able to do? What are the skills that I just didn't learn because I was so very distracted by dealing with trauma as a child? And so bit by bit, that became more and more formalized into what is now the Beyond Surviving program. And that's the work that I do. And you know, I've really drawn on, I think so many things have played a part in my healing. Everything from, you know, studying Buddhism and various texts of faith. I think there's so much that can just be very rich and rewarding in those texts, from mindfulness to neuro-linguistic programming, to journaling, to dance, you know, all of these things really, you know, come together in what has really supported me in breaking free from the past and being able to move on with my life. And my gosh, my life today, I mean, I have a sexy lover boy, you know, a wonderful man in my life who I've been with, you know, for almost 7 years now. And, you know, it's a relationship that I could have never even imagined for myself, the level of kind of comfort and ease that's there. And, you know, for myself as an individual, just the level of self-love and self-acceptance. And oh my gosh, just the peacefulness, honestly, is such a big piece of it. Because, you know, when we experience trauma, our brain, our nervous system, our thought is just so disrupted. And life was really hard. I felt like I was constantly just white knuckling it through life. You know, it was a struggle. And so to have peacefulness and ease and not to be constantly feeling like antagonized by my own thoughts is such a relief. Man, I've been able to build out a really beautiful community of people, connection, relationship. So the rewards, while the work is hard, you know, while it's not always a very straight line, you know, there are ups and downs and gets very wiggly and twisty sometimes in this journey of healing. Ultimately, you know, finding myself at this place in my journey is so wonderful. And the rewards are profound when we lean in. And I guess the final thing I'll say there about that is just really, really understanding that at a certain point in the healing journey, I had to switch my focus from understanding what had happened to really trying to answer the question of what do I do about that? And that really is the heart and soul of the work that I do. And as a coach versus a therapist, that really gives me the landscape and the space to do that kind of work with my clients, to approach trauma from kind of just a different angle so that we can really get in there and do the work of transformation from the level of action and strategy and skill.
So, Rachel, one of the things that you say is you approach trauma from a different aspect. Let's talk about that. What are some of the ways that, you know, coming from your own background, you now utilize some of those techniques or some of the things that you've learned from your own experience to bring to your clients? How do you do that now?
Yeah, well, so when I was in my master's program, I remember sitting in the legal ethics class because I was really on the track for becoming a marriage and family therapist. That's what I thought I needed to do, that I wanted to do. But one day in the legal ethics class, we were going through like all the things you have to pay attention to, and you can't do this and you have to report that. And I just remember an immediate feeling of like, ooh, I'm going to get into trouble because I'm such a rule breaker and none of this is making sense to me. So maybe I need to do something a little different. In addition to just starting to really understand that, you know, therapy is very much around diagnosing. Like, that's often a very big piece of therapy, and therapy is great. I'm not hating on therapy. Like, it's an important part and important modality, but I just knew that the way that I wanted to work with people was going to be a little more action oriented, a little more kind of experiential, certainly bringing in my own experience to be illustrative of what healing can look like and the ways in which I apply and use everything that I'm teaching. And so that's really why I leaned into coaching. And at the time, I wasn't able to find anything that was in the world of, you know, trauma recovery coaching. So I was kind of charting my own course and figuring that out. And so I think one thing that's really distinct about the way that I work with my clients is, you know, the Beyond Surviving program is exactly that. It's a program. It's a step-by-step process. So rather than somebody just kind of arriving and dropping on the couch, so to speak, though I work virtually with people all over the country, all over the world, the virtual couch, if you will, you know, and then just kind of, they just kind of bring in whatever is top of mind or whatever they're feeling the most kind of frustrated with. There's a very specific process. So there's, you know, reading and work and reflection work, and then coming together into the session where I do very specific exercises. And at the end of every one of those sessions, there are skills and tools that people take out into their life, because that's where it really matters, is the application of this, of these tools, of these strategies. And so I really love that process. And part of why I focused in on that in it as well is I just know from my own experience, I often ended up actually re-traumatized. You know, providers that I was working with, they were not fully trauma-informed. They didn't have an actual approach or strategy for working with sexual trauma. That was, I think, the other thing for me for therapy. I didn't want to be a generalist. I really knew, like, this is the problem I want to solve. This is the problem I want to focus in on. And so in developing the program, I've really paid close attention to like what needs to be done when in order to maximize healing and minimize re-traumatization. So even though, like, maybe say somebody comes to me and they say, wow, I feel really disconnected. I feel really isolated. I don't have any community. In therapy, you might just start in right on that and start to talk about, well, how do you build connection? How do you relate to people? But in the Beyond Surviving program, we've got a lot of steps that we've got to take care of, such as nervous system regulation, retraining the brain, dealing with shame, before we can really step into something like working on connection with other people.
You stated that you focus on maximizing healing and lessening re-traumatization. Did I say that right?
Re-traumatization, but yeah, close enough.
You know what? I probably wrote re-traumatization, but it's my handwriting, I swear. but no, let's talk about that just briefly. How often, like you mentioned that that's something you focus on because of your own experience of being re-traumatized by, you know, service providers. Mm-hmm. How often do you see that out there with the clients that are coming across your desk? How often are you picking up where someone else has left off or picking up the pieces of where someone else has left off?
Yeah, thank you for that. You know, when people find me, most of the time they really are at that part of their journey where it's like, enough is enough. Like, oh my gosh, like I've tried this, I've tried that, I've tried this, and I've talked about it, I've talked about it, I've talked about it. But the people who I'm connecting with do not seem to really be able to move me forward beyond, you know, understanding and insight. And I think, you know, a real pet peeve of mine, I'll just say, is, you know, when you go into therapy, a lot of times where therapists are trained to start is with an intake and a history. And so they have somebody go through this entire, like a whole detailing of like, you know, A to Z, like here are all the things that happened. And to my mind, if you are working with somebody and you do not set them up with really good skills and tools for nervous system regulation, then to have them starting off to talk about the trauma, their entire system is going to get activated. And so people are sometimes surprised that in the Beyond Surviving program, I don't ask anyone to do a narrative of their experience until session 10 out of 16. Because I want to make sure that one, they have the nervous system regulation tools. And all that really means is your capacity to regulate, to stay out of the fight, flight, freeze mode. Or if you go into that, you know how to immediately use an intervention to self-soothe and come right back into regulation so that we don't go into these big activation moments and basically cause re-traumatization, right? And flashbacks and triggering and overwhelm. Another big piece of the work is dealing with shame before we even talk about the story. When you have somebody tell their narrative, their trauma narrative story, and they are still holding that as something that they are to blame for, then the telling of that story comes from that place. As they're telling it, they're holding all of that, but that happened because of me, but that happened because I'm bad, but that happened because I didn't tell anyone, but that happened because I kept going out on the porch. And so that is actually reinforcing all of those shame messages. So we have to actually deal with the shame and get things, you know, I call it out of their bucket, right? And shift the blame where it belongs before that narrative. So that, yeah, that's what comes to mind in response to that.
Yeah. If you want to be seen, you have to stop being invisible to opportunity. I'm Kay Henry, licensed mental health counselor and host of Black Therapy Uncensored. Your prescription to positivity starts here.
Now, Rachel, we talked about being re-traumatized, but I'm sure there are some other challenges and things that you face. In your business, what are some of the common myths that you dispel? And also, what are some of the biggest challenges that you have to overcome just working in this industry?
Well, you know, the very first one that comes to mind is that trauma is a life sentence. You know, this is, I think, definitely one of the things that I'm up against and out really trying to change the narrative about. So I remember very distinctly in my own process, in my own journey, I was with a therapist one day and I was having a really rough day. It was one of those, like, I can't keep going. I'm done. I'm over it all. And I remember saying, I just want to feel normal. Like, when am I just going to feel normal? When is life just going to be what I imagine life could be, you know, fun and interesting and not without challenge, but without all of this like terrible, terrible depression and suicidality and negative self-worth. And this particular therapist, you know, I said, is that ever going to happen? And he said, no.
And he said, wait, are you serious? He said no.
Flat out no. And I was like, what? And so first of all, I was like, well, you're fired, because if you don't believe I can change, how am I supposed to believe I can change? And, you know, he basically went on and he was like, you know, no, trauma is like, you know, it affects you for your entire life. It never really shifts. You just find ways to ignore it. I'm like, man, this does not sound like the right answer to me. I was like, I don't know what the right answer is yet, but that does not sound right. And so, you know, the deal is that I really truly believe that everyone can heal, but not everyone will. And what we have to have in order to heal is, first of all, support. And that can be really hard for people who've experienced sexual trauma, because trusting others, asking for support is often one of those big hurdles that we have to overcome. We have to have support. And then we have to have a mentor and a guide that really understands trauma, really gets it and knows it. Like, I live and breathe this, you know? So, you know, I think that's really, really important. And then honestly, too, it is also an accessibility thing. So, you know, we know that there are populations that have less access to resources. And this is one of the reasons why, you know, a very big and important part of the work that I do is to provide programs that are free, donation based, or, you know, scholarships are available, these sorts of things. Because certainly an impact of trauma can be financial instability. But ultimately, you know, to have the idea that your entire rest of your life has to be in some way impacted because of these experiences, I just don't buy it. And I don't see it in my own life, in the lives of my clients. You know, it's not like life doesn't happen, of course. You know, another challenge arises, things happen. But for you to be constantly in a state of recovery, where all of your time, attention, and energy is wrapped up in these past experiences and trying to understand it, talk about it, deal with it, I don't think that that's how we're meant to be. I really don't think that. So we have so much capacity to heal, retrain the brain, heal the nervous system. So I see that a lot. And I'm up against that sometimes in, you know, community and in social circles where other people are very much entrenched in the idea that it is a lifelong sentence. The other thing that comes to mind is just this sense and feeling of I'm too broken. Like there's a point of no return. I think many of my clients start from that place. And in fact, sometimes I will say to them, like, you're going to have to let me believe in you until you can believe in you. Because it's hard, particularly if you've tried a lot of different things. I sometimes use the analogy, like if I come over and I give you like a build it yourself birdhouse, and I give you the wood and I give you the nails, and then I give you a spaghetti noodle, and then I leave and say, here, build this house. You could try really, really hard. Like you could whack away with that spaghetti noodle all day long. But at the end of the day, you're not really gonna have so much produced. But if I come back and I say, here's a hammer, sorry, I gave you the completely wrong tool, here's a hammer, and then you start going at it, well, then all of a sudden the task at hand becomes easier. And so I think that's really the key piece, is like finding the right tool. And I'm just one person and I'm just one approach. Like there are so many things out there, right? And so it's about finding the mentor, or the guide, and the approach and the process that works for you to really get you going. And then from that, expanding and having a robust toolkit of things that you can access and utilize in your healing journey to keep you moving, keep you going as you continue to transform and grow.
Rachel, tell me about a time that one of your clients, one of their situations touched your heart so much in a way that it actually changed the way you approach your coaching services.
Oh my goodness, what a question. where do I begin with that? Wow. I mean, someone who's very top of mind right now is a young man that I worked with maybe about 5 years ago. And when he first started, he was in his early 20s. And his mom actually is the one who reached out to me and said, you know, my son needs help. I don't know how to help him. I just know he needs help. And so he and I began our work together. And about 2 months into the program, he says, you know, I have to tell you something that I'm really ashamed of. And in my world, I'm used to this, right? This comes up often. But what he said actually surprised me. It was not what I was expecting him to say, because he says, I never graduated from high school. And so I said, all right, well, what are we going to do about that? And he was actually really surprised by my answer. Like, what do you mean? We're not going to talk about why that happened and what went wrong. And I said, no, we're not going to talk about any of that. What do you want to do about it? Okay, so you didn't graduate. What are we going to do about it? And so I said, okay, your first task this weekend is to call and find out when's the next GED test and how do you get signed up for that and da, 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 da. And so before he graduated from the program, he actually got his GED. And last week I got a phone call, really beautiful voicemail from his mom, who said, you know, I just want you to know that he just graduated from his cosmetology school. That was the other thing. He was like, I really want to do this, but like, is that weird? And I don't know if I should. And I was like, man, go for it. Do your dream, you know? And so to hear from his mom that he's completed that and now he's off into the world, like working in a career in an industry that he's, you know, passionate about, is fabulous, you know? And so, like, that for me is one of these sorts of rewarding things. You know, people who have, oh my gosh, I'm never going to be in a relationship. One of my clients, when we first started, and I was talking with him about all of the modules we were going to go through, and I got to talking about the relationship module, he says, well, we're just going to skip that because, like, I'm done. I'm over it. Like, I'm just going to be, I've been married, been divorced. Like, I just, it's not in the cards for me. And so I said, all right, man, let's just, like, cross that bridge when we get there. And so we got to the work around relationships and, you know, he leaned in and now he's married and has a child, right? And I mean, I could go on, the rest of the show could be me talking about, I mean, because this is, I mean, that's the heart. And so I really want people to have their lives back. Life is for living and exploring and adventuring and getting curious and trying things out and messing it up and then trying it out again and then trying, you know, going in a different direction. And so, you know, seeing, even if it's just like, it's not a simple thing, but honestly, for all of my clients who walk away from this work, just absolutely clearly knowing that what happened to them was not their fault, you know? And I think what I will tell you is every single client I do, you know, a conclusion with, I ask them for their feedback. And so the Beyond Surviving program today is not the same as it was, you know, 13 years ago. I'm constantly adapting. I'm constantly updating because, man, like they point things out like this was a gap or this was missing or this needed to be added in. And so that's one of the things I really love about, you know, just being a business owner and being an entrepreneur is that I have that freedom and that space to keep evolving myself and how I work with people and how I connect with them and what I'm offering them.
Isn't that a beautiful thing to be able to, that freedom? That's actually a peace of mind within itself, correct?
So much so. Yeah, very much so. Yeah.
So tell me, Rachel, I know, what are some things that people might misunderstand about you when it comes to business, but are not necessarily true?
Oh my gosh. Wow. Well, you know, I remember the first time I got my first piece of hate mail and I was actually really excited about it. I was like, wow, this means I'm really up to something interesting, you know, because people don't get up in arms about stuff that's just same old, same old. You got to be pushing some buttons or pushing some edges. And I think what people most often misunderstand is what people come at me with most of the time is A, who are you to be doing this? Like, you're not a licensed therapist, blah, 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 like that kind of nonsense. I'm like, look, I had plenty of PhDs trying to help me in my journey and they messed it up more than anything. So I know that a degree is not always the answer, but I have training. I have my master's in counseling psychology. I've worked with coaches. I've had my mentorship and I have experience, you know. And I would say that people sometimes will say, well, you're using people. You're using people's pain for profit. That one really breaks my heart because, again, if you really look at the landscape of everything that I offer, there are three programs that are paid programs, and that's like 20% of what I offer, and 80% of what I offer is free, or sliding scale, or scholarship. And it also kind of pisses me off. I'm like, man, like, I gotta earn a living, right? Like, why would you shame me for wanting to make a living and do it doing something that's meaningful and important? And not taking advantage of people. Yeah.
Yeah, people misunderstand that about everyone a lot. Even in my industry as a nutritionist, people don't get, I can't just give you advice for free. As much as I'd like to and as much as I want to be completely honest with you, I've spent many years giving advice for free. I just actually just finished talking to one of my mentors. Her husband is helping me develop some stuff business-wise. And I was explaining to her, we're moving into product. I'm doing an avocado mayo. So I was talking to her about the fact that this recipe has been out on social media for years. This is not something new to, you know, my brand. This is not something new to my clients. This is not something new to people who've been following me. It's the same avocado mayo recipe that I have been posting, like even with brand changes, the same recipe. I told her, I said, as a matter of fact, last week on Facebook for Throwback Thursday, I posted the recipe. Yeah, showing under my old company brand. So yeah, it tells you how long the recipe has been out there.
That's amazing.
So, Rachel, tell us more about your business. Walk us through the process behind your coaching program from discovery call to conclusion.
Awesome. So one of the things that I'll just name is that if you're kind of a little bit not quite ready to fully explore the Beyond Surviving program, some great resources to check out are the Beyond Surviving podcast and the blog. So those can just be some free resources to be considering and looking at and to kind of get information and also just to kind of get to know me a little bit. When you're at that place where you're ready to step into exploring a little bit further, the Healing from Sexual Abuse Facebook group is also just a great resource to kind of drop in, as well as my monthly Adult Survivors of Child Abuse support group. So these are all the spaces and places where you can connect with me while you're maybe getting to know me or doing some healing work in order to be ready for the Beyond Surviving program. And then once you're at that step where you're like, yes, I want to explore this, I want to take that next step, enough is enough, I'm like no longer willing to allow the abuse to, you know, run my life, and I know that I want to explore working with Rachel as a mentor and a guide, then the first step is to sign up for a Discover Your Genuine Self session. And so you can do that straight from my website. So you're going to apply for one of these sessions. And during this call, we really are doing three things. One, I got to get to know you. I got to understand like where you are in your healing journey. What are the current challenges, struggles that you're facing? I do not in this session ask people to do an entire history, as you all might have guessed from what I've already said today. And I certainly don't ask people to talk in any explicit detail about the abuse they experienced. Rather, what we're really looking at is what in the present day is not working, certainly as a result of that trauma. And so as we collect that information and we get a little bit better sense of where you're feeling the most stuck or challenged, from there we do an exercise so that we can create a vision of how you want things to be instead, right? Like what would life look like? How do you want to feel? What are the things that you want to have present in your life? And then I take people through an exercise where we can really identify like the number one thing that's keeping you blocked or stuck. Because most of the time we have the part of ourselves that is saying, go for it, do it. Something has to change. Something has to develop and be different. But then we also have that nagging part of ourselves that says, yeah, but. And so we want to really identify what that is and help, you know, bring that into clarity. So then we can figure out how we're going to sneak by it. Everybody has fears, including me, when we, you know, start a journey, anything new, particularly around healing trauma. So, and then we talk about the program and explore working together. And so there are essentially, you know, three ways that I work with people. So first is by way of my 28-day boot camp for the brain. So this is an online self-study program that really blends cutting-edge neuroscience and brain-boosting strategies to help people create that sense of peacefulness that we've been talking about through nervous system regulation, understanding how to kick PTSD to the curb, have more, you know, resource and skill for managing triggers, reducing, eliminating flashbacks, these sorts of things. And so in that 28-day program, it's a foundation course. This is not like the whole kit and caboodle, but it gives people the opportunity to get what I like. For me, I created that program with the intention of if you don't do anything else, like here are the skills that I want every single person who's experienced trauma to have. And that is a investment of $197, and there are scholarships available with a minimum investment of $25. So you can get that at rachelgrantcoaching.com/bootcamp. And along the way, as far as support in the bootcamp program, we have a Facebook group and we do Facebook office hours, and I'm available via email as well to support people as they're working through the materials. You have lifetime access to it. So sometimes we need to slow things down, right? Or just go through it and then go through it again. But that way people have that resource, and even the office hours are lifetime access. So that has actually become a great place where people just have a little weekly touch point, right? A little like nudge, like stay on track, where are you heading? A little tune up every single week. Excuse me. And then of course there's the Beyond Surviving program, and I work with people one-on-one, and then I also do two group programs a year. And this is where we go into much more depth. So we're going to be working through the bootcamp material for sure. That system regulation piece, that's the foundation, you know, that I've been talking about. And then we work on shame. We work on building connection, emotional health and wellness, where we really take a close look at things like anger and fear, fear of abandonment, anxiety. We work on confidence, right? Feeling good about yourself, feeling, you know, connected into who you are, feeling comfortable in your own skin, the relationship skills, man, we cover so much in that, you know, trust, communication, setting boundaries, intimacy, sexuality, family relationships. And then ultimately, what does it actually mean to move on? And what are the things that we want to do in order to support that in our healing?
Tell us a little bit. I know you mentioned earlier that you have a lot of scaling fee programs and some donation-based programs for underprivileged communities. Tell us more about those programs as well.
Okay, yeah. So the monthly support group I mentioned, Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, that's rachelgrantcoaching.com/ASCA, A-S-C-A. So you can go there and learn more about that monthly group. And in this monthly group, we meet and discuss topics and themes that are important to address. So things like anger and communication and setting boundaries and flashbacks. And so it's a guided conversation. Nobody is required to share on that call. So a lot of people just come in and listen and tune in. But there are opportunities to do some small group shares and things like that. And that is a donation-based group, and nobody is turned away for lack of funds. So we meet on the fourth Monday of each month at 4:30 Pacific. So you can pop over to the website and register for that and come join us in conversation. On my website at rachelgrantcoaching.com/freebies, F-R-E-E-B-I-E-S, you can get easy access to the blog, the podcast, to some free guides. There's an Overcome the Fear of Abandonment guide. There's an excerpt of the Beyond Surviving guidebook. You can also access sliding scale masterclasses. So the minimum investment for those are $10, but I have, you know, mini masterclasses there that you can check out. Overcome the Fear of Abandonment, Shake Off the Shame, Learn. There's a one on communication and boundaries, ending isolation. So those are just really great little mini trainings that people can access, again, for a minimum investment of $10. What am I forgetting? I think that's it.
Well, I'm definitely going to go on the website. The thing you talked about, getting over the fear of abandonment, I think that's something we all actually may need to just do a brusher course on every now and then. Yeah. Especially those of us who experienced that in childhood with trauma. There are, you know, you mentioned a number of things that could be trauma based, and you actually, you know, your personal journey is, and I don't mean to minimize it, it's just a small amount of the type of trauma that you actually deal with. There's so many different types of trauma that people probably come to you with. Yeah. I think it's truly amazing. Tell people how they can contact you. Like, if they wanted to set up an appointment, I know we've given out some free stuff. If they wanted to set up an appointment, then I know you've also mentioned your Facebook groups. Give that information out again for the public as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/Real Talk with Rachel. That is a fabulous place to just start out. The introductory video there will give you like a big, beautiful overview of the community and all of the resources that are available to you under Rachel Grant Coaching umbrella. And you can go to rachelgrantcoaching.com and look for the button to apply for a Discover Your Genuine Self session, and so that we can have an opportunity to connect and meet and explore working together. You can certainly click around for the other resources. And also, if you just need a little boost of inspiration, go check out the success stories on the website. You know, this is a place of like where people are sharing their outcomes and what has shifted and changed for them. And to know that that can be you too. There isn't, it's really just a practice of application and consistency. And having mentorship and support to help us in that process. So you can also just directly email me, coach@rachelgrantcoaching.com.
Cool. Rachel, let me ask you this. What's one thing your program has done for one of your clients that you didn't expect it to do?
At the end of one of my, I was working with this woman, and at the very end of the program, when we were having our celebration calls, she says, "Rachel, I never ever told you because I was scared, I was ashamed, I was embarrassed, but I have been addicted to alcohol and marijuana since I was 13, and I have stopped using both of those." And I love that story because it just speaks to me so much about how a lot of the things that we do in our life to adapt and to cope, right? And when we heal, when we start to take better care of ourselves, when we start to get out of all of the lies and the pain that have been, you know, caused because of trauma, when we get that nervous system regulation, we have better coping skills, then a lot of these behaviors just kind of, they can just drop away like that. It's really amazing. So that was a big surprise. Certainly another one was one of my clients who really was in a lot of distress about relationships. At the end of about a year after she graduated from the program, she emailed me and said, I made up my mind. I'm going to have a baby on my own. And she went through, you know, whatever it is, I forget what it's called, you know, and she had a baby. I know, and now there's this little guy in the world. And, you know, I love that. So yeah, those are two stories that kind of immediately come to mind.
Way cool. Okay. So you guys, you've heard where you can contact Rachel. She's told you all about all of her programs and services. In our next segment, we're going to just wrap up our show, but we're going to find out a little more info about Rachel. We're going to ask her our final four fun questions. So we'll be back shortly.
This is a 2-second nutrition tip. Today's tip is give up soft drinks and opt for a healthier beverage option like herbal teas with a natural sweetener or even raw juices. At least try it one day a week. Let me know how it goes. This has been a 2-second nutrition tip.
So you guys, don't forget that you can find Rachel's contact information also on our website, NRIwellness.com, under the About Guest tab, where we feature articles on all of our podcast guests. And also, don't forget to join our Facebook group, 10 Dimensions of Wellness. We post that article in there, and we also ask our guests to join that group to post any type of content or information that they like to share as well. So, Rachel, first, thank you for being on the show and for giving us your time. But we have about 4 more questions that we're going to ask you. And this is just to give our guests a little insight on who you are. Some little fun questions. My first question for you is, what's been the biggest surprise you've had in the last few months?
Well, the biggest surprise, COVID aside, has been... has been how I have manifested this little kitty who is a tomcat who decides to come over to the house at 3 in the morning again and again and again and again. And it's funny because I had been just like a week before he showed up thinking about my other cat, Sable, who had died a couple of years ago. And I was like, I need a cuddle cat. We have a cat, but he's a little out and about cat. So anyway, this cat randomly showed up. We've affectionately named him Walt the Wow Kitty. And it's just kind of fun to see like little creatures show up in your world. It was a big surprise for me. I didn't know I was going to be adopting another little furry creature.
Oh no, you knew it. You manifested it. You put it out there. That's fair. You made it happen. You asked for it and you got it. Okay. What do you wish you'd known 10 years ago that you know now?
I wish I'd known that you can and will love your body.
That's awesome. That's actually a very poignant message that even not only for just trauma people, but for people who deal with eating disorders as well. And to be completely honest, that's actually a form of trauma within itself. So
absolutely. Yeah.
So I love that message. That's very cool. What inspires you and makes you feel like your best self?
Dance. Oh man. Put on some 90s hip hop. I am my fullest self. People are often surprised to know that I danced in a hip hop company for 4 years. Yeah.
Oh my God. Are there any videos?
There are. Yes. Y'all can go check out YouTube. Free Play Dance Crew. Yeah, dance really from a very young age. And I grew up in the MTV era when they actually played music, and I'd be just there watching Janet Jackson and Paula Abdul and Madonna and just trying to like do my own choreo in the living room. And dance has always been just a place for me to get out of anything that was causing me stress or anxiety and to just be. And all kinds of music, it really inspire me. And so just to be around music and movement, really, that's when I feel my fullest, best self.
Yes, movement and music can be its own therapy within itself. I have to definitely agree with you on that. If you could have a billboard with anything on it, what would it say and why?
Well, I don't know if this would be a very good billboard because there'd be a lot of words. So it might not be very effective. But I think what I want to offer is just some words of wisdom that my mom gave me at a time in my life when I was really over being relationship. I really was done. Like, love is dumb. Love is stupid. Love is a waste of time. And what she said to me is, Rachel, all you have to do is find someone who won't make you apologize for being who you are and do that for someone else.
Your mom was a really wise person, and she really just passed on some great advice that you just passed on to all of us, because that was really awesome. That's a really great way of seeing it. I like that. Yeah. Oh, wow. That was awesome. Thank you so much, Rachel, for blessing us with your presence today and just allowing us in your space and for giving us your time. I totally appreciate it.
Well, I feel the same. I am so glad to have connected with you today and to have had this opportunity to share myself with you and your community. And for everybody listening, thank you for taking the time to tune in. And if there's any way that I can be a resource support to you, I'm absolutely here. And just blessings to you and to everyone.
Awesome. Well, you guys, you can listen to our podcast on Pandora, Spotify, iHeartRadio. And guess what? We are now on Amazon. So we're excited about that, as well as a plethora of other audio platforms. And don't forget, we do also broadcast the audio version on our YouTube channel, NRI Wellness. We encourage all of our listeners to join our Facebook page, follow us on IG, 10 Dimensions of Wellness, on both of those. You can just put 10 Dimensions of Wellness in the search bar on Facebook. It'll pull up the group. A lot of our guests are in that group. They teach classes. They post content. We have a Wind Down Wednesdays. We have a Financial Fridays, all filled from guests that have previously been on the 10 Dimensions of Wellness. So we look forward to you joining us again. Thank you so much for listening to another episode and have a great night.
NRI Wellness. We bring you the latest in health and nutrition information, create customized nutrition programs, and walk you through the process to ensure your success.